Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to f*** with one of Satan home. And she can't tell the difference, I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my tables turn. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on trailing back. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is Tuesday, March 19th, the first day of what the University of Memphis Tiger program, I guess, is hoping is a deep run in the NIT.
NIT?
They play tonight. Ben and Doyle had forgotten. Don't forget.
Don't you dare forget.
Got postseason.
Don't you forget about the NIT.
Pretty good. Not bad. Indeed, Tigers will be in action tonight down at FedEx Forum against San Diego.
Wow.
If you're familiar with that team.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that game on the computer?
I do remember that game on the computer. You and I are going to have a little bit more conversation about Mike Miller.
I don't want to talk to you about Mike Miller anymore.
Because I see Thad Matta doesn't look like he's the guy. I see Rick Pitino ain't going to be doing it. So I need
to know
from you.
Well, I guess that leaves one man.
I need to know from you, is it still open for Mike Miller?
I guess
Daddy pumping the Kango kid.
I guess that leaves one man for the job, huh?
One man for the job, the man that's closest
to
the job.
I will say, let me just, take a step back here. I mean, I learned over this last, 2 days that apparently people in Memphis think Mike Miller is a crappy recruiter. That's what I've learned. I mean, he hadn't even gotten any kids in Memphis yet.
Who said that?
All I've seen on Twitter the last 24 hours or so is some variation of that. Someone accused me of eating meth.
We know Mike will deliver.
Because Mike Miller hasn't currently yet gotten a player at the University of Memphis. It is true, all of the guys at Memphis are Penny's guys, but that will soon change. Anyway, yes, we have a big show planned for you today. Jason apparently wants to come at me over Mike Miller, so that's going to be what we do for 3 hours.
I'm not coming at you. I'm saying, is it still open for him?
Yes, so we will talk about that today. And we'll actually talk to somebody who's in Vegas.
Good.
Who is in Vegas.
Good.
His name is Brian Shapiro. He is the host of the Vegas Take on 101 FM and 720 AM KDWN in Las Vegas. And he's been tweeting a lot about the job.
Everybody keeps tweeting how good Mike Miller would be at the job.
Yeah, we told you yesterday, in case you missed it, that it's DEFCON 4, which means, is Mike Miller a candidate? Is he somebody that's been considered? Yes. Is he the favorite or one of the two favorites or one of the three favorites? No. So we will talk to Brian Shapiro about that and see if anything has changed from his perspective, from where he's at. He's there in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we will talk about that with him at 11:45. That's going to happen at 11:45. And then at 1:25, Clay Travis is going to join us. We will talk to Clay Travis about the NCAA tournament, about Johnny Manziel, the most famous person who's ever lived or come through the city of Memphis, according to some. We will talk to Clay Travis. You rolled your eyes. You seem like you don't agree with that take.
Penny.
It's okay.
Penny.
When we can have this argument, I don't think Penny is not more recognizable than Johnny Manziel.
What?
He's just not. Like, if you go, if you went with the Gary Parish analogy, which is both of them are in a corner of a restaurant in New York, like, who is going to be recognized more? It's Johnny.
By white people.
No, by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
By all kinds.
Y'all killing me with this.
They're killing me, Bennett. They're in their own city and forget where they come from.
Penny is a shy guy. You know, like, John, the only reason I'm saying Johnny is because he's just out there more than Penny is.
Nike's second best signature shoe ever?
Yes, I agree.
Oh, that helps his fame.
But Johnny is on TMZ all the time. He's constantly on Instagram.
Penny's so famous, they're buying his shoes. They don't even, the kids don't even know who he is. That's how famous he is. That feeds into
it. I'm saying,
it. You
though,
realize that.
More recognizable.
He's worth
though.
$50 million.
I mean, yeah.
What's Johnny worth?
Johnny Manziel has 2 million followers on Instagram.
Is Johnny going to the fashion show this offseason?
I don't think so.
In Paris?
I don't think so.
All right, then.
But that's
could he get a front seat at it?
I
doubt it.
I bet he could. I bet Johnny Manziel.
Maybe.
If he really was into that world,
he's wasted a lot of chances. I don't know if he can get a front seat anymore.
I mean, you just
all right.
You think Johnny Manziel
don't forget about where y'all come
Marquise
from.
Marquise Tuiasa Sopo, according to you.
Dude. I mean, you guys act like he's still Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel.
Well, he's still Johnny Manziel.
Oh, it's coming down, though. It is coming down.
There is no question.
And listen, I'm not rooting against him. I told you yesterday, I'm rooting for him. I want him to get through this. I hope he's great. More importantly, I hope he gets his life straight because
yes.
He's wasted just about every chance he's gotten.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for. But no, is he more? No.
Well,
stop it.
Because
TMZ covers him?
Listen, one thing. Well, first of all.
Not you, same dude.
You love TMZ because
his
Van
fame
Lane,
is dwindling.
I agree with that. That's
everybody would.
That's a part of the story that we really didn't touch on yesterday. Like, let's just okay. It's fun that
Penny
Johnny Manziel
can still get
in
more
Memphis.
Famous.
Yes,
mess around and
yes, he can
do something crazy and win a national championship.
Yes, he can. That is true. Penny has had more staying power, no question about it. But one element of the story that we did not discuss yesterday is how kind of sad it is, man, that Johnny Manziel was a first-round pick. He beat Alabama. He dethroned Alabama right at A&M. He
mm-hmm.
was like the guy you could not miss on Saturdays.
Right.
And he gets drafted in the NFL, bombs out, has all these, you know, legal issues and drug issues. And now he's on his last stop, it feels like, in Memphis. Like, that is very sad. I mean, like, it is. Like, I root for the Express, and it makes sense they did it. But just from a, you know, if you followed his career – the fact that he's where he is right now,
mm-hmm.
he may not even start
you know,
the Express. It's
doesn't sound like, don't sound like they plan on starting.
It's depressing, man. It's like
you know
that,
who else was on their last stop in Memphis, John?
Who?
Number 50, Zach Randolph. Look how it turned out for him.
A little different. He was still getting big money. You know, he was still getting big money. I mean,
how much is Johnny getting paid?
$80,000.
Not big money.
I mean, if you ever see the movie Mississippi Grind, it's got Ryan Reynolds in it. It tells the story of like this gambler. Right, whose life just—it's like one big downward spiral, man. He just ends up in Memphis.
That's what I'm saying. It's the story and sort of the downfall of Manziel that's become what's—it's more infamy. That's more what it is than anything else. Bennett, don't even go there because I didn't want to do that. I don't want to do this to this guy.
Oh, I thought that was
no. It's actually a good.
I'm not trying to write a eulogy on him.
What if
I
told you a quarterback who was a once in a generation talent who once upon a time
it's the story that's famous.
By the time he was 26 years old, former first-round NFL draft pick, ended up in Memphis playing for Mike Singletary in front of 10 people.
On like his ninth chance and, you know.
There has to be a – you have to like – have to overcome at the end.
I'm not sure if you overcome. That's
Where's
the thing.
That
I know everybody wants to overcome, but here's the reality. Here's the likelihood.
This story about to be – y'all talking about how famous he is. This story about to be dead in a minute if he keeps messing up.
And
I'm hoping he doesn't.
The season ends in, what, a month? And that's going to be the last we hear Johnny Manziel.
I think we have 3 home games left,
That's
right?
My prediction. At the end of this month, or whenever the season ends.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That will be the end of Johnny Manziel in Memphis. I'm not optimistic about it.
It sounds like you're starting to make my case, but let's not spend the entire first segment on this. I don't think it's Penny, and Memphians know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jason wants to talk about the Tigers. I apologize. There's
a lot going on. I told you.
I mean,
I'm
Go Tigers.
I want us to stay on this Mike Miller story as closely as possible.
What would you like
also,
me to do, boss?
Apparently, Tom Bowen interviewed for another job.
And didn't
so
get
there's
it.
Things going on, okay, besides Penny versus Johnny Manziel.
I'm going to be honest
Give me
with
a
you.
Break.
At some point, at what point do you just become demoralized if you're Tom Bowen? I mean, he has interviewed for a lot of jobs, and he has not gotten one of them. And
raise your hand if you've interviewed Tom Bowen and not hired him.
I think he interviewed for a host position here. Brad had him on as a fill-in one day, and he didn't get
Man,
that
Man, stop.
He didn't get that one, you know? So I'm just –
Was he applying for part-time or full-time?
I don't know. We do need more fill-ins. It's true. I mean, we're using Jeffrey Wright. You know, I hear Jeffrey Wright on two shows a day.
According to Brett McMurphy, he wanted to be the Sun Belt commissioner and interviewed for it. He did not get it.
Yes. How many jobs have you interviewed for and not gotten?
Whoa.
Like, is there a job that you interviewed for and you didn't get that jumps out at you?
No.
I interviewed for ESPN. Didn't get that one. I went to Bristol. I didn't. And it was the best thing that ever could have happened for me, by the way. It was a blessing that I did not get that job because it was basically minimum wage to be a freaking grinder.
You know? One of those content producers or something behind a computer.
Oh, I mean,
wouldn't have seen your face.
It was not for at least years. Like the title was digital associate producer.
Oh yeah, grunt. Yeah,
no question. Grunt mm-hmm. making $30,000, living in the friggin' doo doo part of Connecticut. Couldn't even live in Bristol. I would have had to live in Hartford or something like that because I probably couldn't afford to live in Bristol.
See, God was watching out for
he
you.
Was.
God thought that's what you needed at
he
that
was.
Time in your life, and God was watching out for
it
you.
It was I didn't get Chick-fil-A. I interviewed for a job when I was 14 at Chick-fil-A. Did not get it. I'll never forget it. It was Poplar, the main one near here. I interviewed with the general manager, Scott. I'm pretty sure he's still there. So that one haunts me. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I feel like Bennett's probably got one or two. I got a pretty good success rate.
Have you ever interviewed for a job that you didn't get?
Yes. Yes.
You want to give us any details?
It sounded like
no,
it might be close
no,
to home.
No, yeah,
that's
okay.
What was it like backyard burger
or something? Was it here?
No, it was a little more prestigious than that.
Okay. I got you. It was the Jeff Calkins show. Was that it?
No comment.
It worked out for you, too. You what a spot. You know what I mean?
Does this make the six-month contract extension for Bowen make more sense?
I guess. I mean,
Because Rudd's reasoning was, well, let's wait till we get our finances straight with a media rights deal, right? And then we know what we've got, basically. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And then you give him, you know, then once we know what we've got financially, then we can pay him. But it seems to me like this would be, if you know a guy's trying to get out, which it seems like Tom Bowen's been trying to do for years,
or
quite
years,
frankly, for
like
years,
4 or 5 years.
Then that's what you'd keep it short, right? It just seems to put
right.
It seems to put that story from the CA a couple weeks ago in a new little bit of light, I would think.
It's just so random, though, to extend somebody for 6 months, you know. Anyway, Tom Bowen interviewed. He was a finalist, it sounded like, for the Sun Belt commissioner job. But it went to an African-American man for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
had that first.
Yeah, that was a good development for them. Diversity is always a good thing. We are proponents of diversity on this show. So we salute the new Sun Belt commissioner. And Tom Bowen going to be back with the University of Memphis for at least another 6 months until something else pops up, like, I don't know, an assembly line position at the Nike factory. Maybe he will apply for that one. He might be overqualified for that. But at any rate, don't shake your head at me. No, you know, it's funny.
We were texting around some gifts yesterday. It's pretty funny.
No, we joke.
You have a pretty long list.
We're joking about that part, right? Like, obviously, you know, Tom Bowen's not going to apply to be a coal miner, but, you know, he might. I certainly don't want to rule it out.
Maybe back to the priesthood.
Maybe he could go back to, you're right, maybe he could go back to the church. That is absolutely, do you have an opening at New Hope?
Oh, no, we don't. We don't pay. We're a small church. We don't have salaries for,
gotcha.
Sorry.
Well, maybe this could be the moment, the watershed moment for the church.
Mm.
You know, like we talked about, diversity is good. You don't have any white priests over there.
I'm like Sunbelt.
Don't you think you need more diversity in the church?
We have plenty of diversity, John. And we're still trying to get you there.
I just mean from a priest perspective.
We're fine. Do you understand?
Yeah, but you don't have any white priests. You can't tell me you got a white priest.
No, not at this moment.
So I think that's something we got to work on.
He's going to need to be unpaid, and I think Tom wants to get paid.
Yeah, so anyway, that was yesterday afternoon with Tom Bowen. Did not get the Sun Belt commissioner job. And tonight, believe it or not, it feels like we were in the Forum for seven straight days. We're going to be in there once again because the Tigers have their NIT game, their opening round NIT game tonight against the San Diego Toreros. Get excited. Get excited for the NIT game. Listen, it's not, you know, it's good for a program that has not been to the postseason in four seasons, right? But once you're in it, it's like, ugh.
Well, they didn't help with the matchup. They did. Arkansas were a little bit more up
they
for
did.
It, I think.
They
I
did.
Think that's the main thing. You should feel good about this. You know the team does. You know Jeremiah Martin. You know Tyler Harris. You know Kareem Bruton. Those seniors all do. So we should feel good about it for them. We know there's a it's not just playing out the string. There's a purpose in this, and the longer you can go, the more you can help yourself next season in the sense that you get that time for the freshmen, for Tyler, for Alex Lomax, for Antwan Jones. That's a plus, and that helps you next season. So there's something to get out of this in addition to, yes, ending the drought, and in addition to looking like the start of what we predict and believe is the rise of this program. That's what it represents, and sure – yeah, it would be nice if it wasn't San Diego, you know what I mean? If it was Arkansas, something like that, you'd be a little bit more up for it. Probably sell a few more tickets, I would imagine. I can't imagine it's going to be a huge, huge crowd down there tonight.
Well, I will say this. My wife
will
be
there. I'm hoping it's a decent one.
Well, if you look at their bracket, obviously this game is kind of a stinker, but if they beat San Diego, their bracket's kind of interesting. You got Butler, TCU, and
Creighton. And a matchup between Ryan Miller and Mike Miller.
I mean, you got some fun teams in their side of the bracket.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a game against Creighton would be fun. Like, going to Creighton. Creighton's a name brand school, you know.
Creighton wins. You're headed there. This is the last game in the Forum for the season.
Yeah, I think that is intriguing. And it's like we talked about, you know, listen, it's more games for Jeremiah Martin. It's more games for Penny Hardaway. It's more games for the young guys, Antwan, Alo, Tyler Harris, you know, who, frankly, when you're talking about next season, which is what we're all looking forward to, they're going to be – it's not just James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and those guys, right? I mean, you're going to be relying somewhat on Tyler, on Alo, on Antwan, because those are your returners. Those are the guys from this team who are coming back who played major minutes this year, meaningful minutes.
It's one of the big reasons we know and we know because we talked to the folks they're after, but they're after more players. I mean, that's one of the reasons is because you look now, it's going to be almost flipped in the sense that where your strength looks like next season is the front line. You've got, and some of it will be inexperienced, obviously, with the new guys you bring in with Dandridge and with James Wiseman. But you've also got Lance, the transfer from Louisville, Lance Thomas. You've also got Isaiah Maurice, who let's be real, looks like there's something to get out of it. We've said it all year long. Talented, can he be tough enough to where you can keep him in the game? And they've got something out of him. Like he helps next year as a senior. All of a sudden, it's like I said, it's flipped where your front line looks like the strength, and next year. Whereas, and maybe this changes with adding, depending upon who they add, next year the inexperience still, and I know Alex and Tyler played and Antwan played, is there in the backcourt. You want to shore that up, and they're doing it. They've tried to, obviously, adding Damian Ball, who will play some point guard for you, has the size at 6'3", and you're obviously going after a 6'5 shooter with Lester Quinones. That's the area you're trying to address right now, and that's the area, frankly, with the most questions for next season.
No doubt.
Look. We've talked about the great story that Jeremiah Martin is.
Yep.
And we focused on the story and how great it is. There's no question. What you lose in losing Jeremiah Martin, but for five seniors, number one, that's a lot to lose. Just losing Jeremiah Martin, who the second half of this season is.
Absolutely.
You're talking about 25 points per game for the second half of a season.
Yep.
The guy that you're giving the ball to and saying, go do it for us, that is a big loss. Now, you're telling Tyler and Alex, you guys are the ones I got to depend on. It's completely different.
Yep.
Those guys are still learning. And so, look, backcourt is – next season's backcourt extremely critical to the success of this team.
And that's why I say –
and how it plays out.
It is absolutely imperative that they go out and they add – Damian Ball is a nice addition. I think he's going to be a good player for them. But he is, I don't think he's ready to step in immediately and carry the load by any stretch of the imagination, especially offensively. So, to me, it is imperative that they go out and add a graduate transfer guard. Like, I just think that has got to be something.
See, I don't think they can do more than two. Two more
scholarships.
I mean, you can. You're gonna have to take some guys off, that were promised scholarships
leaving.
Would be off. Then,
somebody's got.
Or you're pushing somebody, a couple of kids straight out the door if you're adding three more, John. Because right now with Ball, you're full. We've made that pretty clear. But no, I thought. Look, right now, for me, it's always felt like Lester Quinones, who obviously just took the visit. There's your 6'5 shooter to sort of put with another point guard. Remember, you've still got, you hope,
right,
Antoine Jones.
Yep.
Again, more size on the perimeter,
yep,
to go with Tyler and Alex. And then, obviously, whether it's Precious, Achiuwa, or Trennan Watford, seems like to me would be the second, some combination of those two.
Right.
Now, if you don't get Lester, then obviously you know with the experience you bring back in the backcourt, relatively almost none.
Yep.
Then you would get, it seems like, graduate transfer market then. If you're telling me they can do two of those three, right, between Trennan, Precious, and Lester,
yep,
and get a grad transfer, I don't see that one.
Well,
I don't see that one.
There's got to be a way to make it work, because I do think your ceiling is capped if you don't bring any more guard help. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I believe in James Wiseman as much as anybody else, maybe more than anybody else, but if you're talking about making that deep run in March.
I'm telling y'all, this is why it is imperative. People have been talking about Antoine Jones leaving. Will he leave? Just because I guess that's sort of been the story on him for his career.
Right.
Bounces from place to place with his AAU or whatever else. Dude, you have invested too much. You have been up and down that roller coaster with Antoine Jones too much, and you've gotten too much in return for your investment in him.
Yep.
You've seen the potential when he's on the floor. He barely played and had 7 rebounds in that game, if I'm not mistaken, against Houston. In the minutes that he plays, he can change a game. And so this is my – you've invested so much time and energy already with him, right? Why would you allow him to transfer? You would and obviously you don't have a
right, –
if a kid wants to transfer, you know, what I'm saying is, why would you allow him to come to that decision?
Yeah.
You're going to tell Antoine Jones how much he means to – potentially this team next year,
right,
how much this team needs him. And, John, if you've got him in, I think it's, yes, there's some inexperience there, a lot of it, quite frankly,
right,
in your backcourt, but I think you may be fine. I don't think going graduate transfer is a bad way to go. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, having more experience
in that backcourt sounds smart. But, again, if they get two of these three that they're after,
yeah,
I don't know how much more room there is.
Well, they can't get three. I mean, they definitely cannot get all three.
Don't you feel like they're keeping Wingett?
I mean, you look at Wingett, you look at Victor Eno.
Again, that's another one that you're going ahead and you're probably going to get a red shirt for.
Antoine Jones is a wild card. You probably want to keep him, but he's not.
Wingett more small forward than shooting guard, so probably doesn't help you as much in the backcourt.
Right.
I'm talking about that scholarship.
But his dad said on the Memphis Tiger Facebook group, right, that he's coming back.
And that looks like a kid, I ain't gonna lie to you, that's engaged.
But
you know what I mean?
You know, but listen,
we know
conversations can happen and things. Right, but yes. So
Wingett, Eno.
Yes.
Do you give Jaden Hardaway a scholarship? Is Ryan Boyce on scholarship as you said he would be? So there's some stuff you can, you can mess with there.
Yeah. So it's definitely. Listen, I mean, I think they are a tournament team. I think if they don't make the tournament, it's a huge disappointment. Let me make that clear, because they're going to be picked to finish what, second in the American. I mean, Cincinnati will probably be picked to finish first because Cumberland's coming back, but Houston's losing pretty much everybody. You know,
Houston's still got Giroux. They've still got one of those guards. I want to tell you, it's Brooks.
Armani, but they're losing Corey Davis.
Yeah, because Galen's gone, Corey Davis is gone, but Brooks is still there. Their starting five is still decent. Fabian White, who had 11 rebounds.
So they'll probably be picked to finish third. Memphis will be picked to finish second. I mean, I think that's fair.
Somewhere in there. They're going to have to bring more than just Jaron Cumberland. They're losing their two point guards, a couple more things. Maybe you're right. Maybe they do get
there. Memphis will be picked to finish in the top two, I feel like.
I would definitely, certainly top three.
Just because the way the class
again, that backcourt's got questions.
It does. I agree.
Unless you're just completely changing the way you play and going inside out, which would complete, unless Pitty's going to flip it, because that will be your strength next season. We'll see.
Yeah, but, obviously that's why tonight is important. That's why the NIT is important. It might not be the sexiest matchup in the world, and it's not.
You want Antoine Jones and Tyler Harris and Alex Thomas to go out of this thing feeling good good for next season and playing well.
Like, you honestly, you hope to make a run in this
thing. To me, quite frankly, I know it's the senior sort of last hurrah here, but to me, clearly, that's the important thing that those guys are rolling for me. You want to win the games, and you're going to do what you have to do. But to me, for next season, I'm already thinking about that. If I'm getting Hardaway, I want my freshman going out with a bang.
Yeah, I mean, just the development of those
playing
guys,
well, feeling good, nobody thinking about transferring, not the ones I want. That's for sure.
So it'll be interesting to see exactly how they fill the rest of this class around. Obviously, we know their targets are Precious Achiuwa, Lester Quiñones, and Trina Watford. You know, do they add a graduate transfer? And who leaves? Who stays and who leaves? That'll definitely be something to watch. That goes for coaches, right? That goes for coaches and the coaching staff, which I know you want to get to. So we'll do that when we come back. The latest on Mike Miller and the University of Memphis basketball staff when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Joined by Brian Shapiro, who's out there in Las Vegas doing a radio show in Vegas, who's kind of been tweeting a lot about the UNLV search at 11:45. We'll get the latest from him, what he's hearing about UNLV at 11:45. And that certainly seems to be the topic of conversation in the city of Memphis, Mike Miller's candidacy or potential candidacy in the UNLV position, in the vacancy, the vacant job there with the running Rebels. I mean, I'm getting tweets yesterday, you know, saying, you know, please don't go, Mike, and sending me sad faces and screenshots, and we have to keep Mike.
I mean, it's not just like this is something that's just made up, but, you know, Borzello picked him for the
gig. He did.
Jeff Goodman called him a wild card for the job. Like, they're, you know, it's something that's being talked about.
And it
nationally,
does seem like he's getting a groundswell of support from, you know, UNLV fans, obviously.
And from Jalen Green and R.J. Hampton on Twitter.
Jalen Green and R.J. Hampton are tweeting about it. I mean, Brad Carson changed his Twitter picture to the UNLV running Rebels logo.
Brad is giddy.
I feel a little guilty about it, you know. It's because, you know, sometimes you wake up on Christmas and you have high hopes, you don't get what you want.
Is he gonna get let down, John? That's what I want.
You wanted a big green egg, but you got like a charcoal grill. You know what I mean?
Because
I think that's what he wants right now. I get it, man. Like Mike Miller as a coach at UNLV, as the head coach with his brother Ryan, is intriguing as hell. It is. You know, it's the sexiness of hiring a two-time NBA champion who's got all these connections to Jalen Green and RJ, who, by the way, if he was at UNLV, I think they follow him. You know, that part of it is very intriguing.
My Lord.
But it's also a gamble. It's also a gamble to take a flyer on a guy who has never coached as a head coach, right? He just started coaching this year, you know. So I can understand the hesitancy from an athletic director's position. Athletic directors typically don't tend to be forward thinkers for the most part. They don't tend to be visionaries. They tend to be very conservative because in the end, right, they're trying to keep their job too.
Yeah.
And so they just had to fire Marvin Menzies. You know, they don't want to have to fire the next coach. She doesn't want to have to fire because that's going to look bad on her.
Yeah, the other big thing is there isn't that sort of natural hope in your fan base because that Mike has to make the UNLV fan base believe. Penny Hardaway didn't have to do that yet.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have to do that at all, really.
Yep.
Because they already did. Yes, there were questions whether he can coach, but he's doing it at the grassroots level. There's the legend of him here. So he already had built up equity, obviously, with when he gets the job in terms of the belief level from fans that he could get the job done.
Now, I think
that's something Mike doesn't have that advantage.
But I think he would
do it. Neither does that AD.
But I think he would do it very quickly, though. I think
everybody wants to believe Mike Miller. I know. I get it. Of course.
He wins the press conference, right? The guy, I mean, you know.
Of course he would.
So
You're in his presence. That's why he's so beloved in Memphis.
No question.
I mean, he's figured us out pretty quickly.
Who doesn't like Mike Miller?
And he loves it here, and we recognize that, and so we appreciate him for that. Like we said, we've always embraced those folks that speak highly of Memphis, those sort of out-of-towners that come in here.
And has obviously...
He becomes one of us.
He moved back here before he was an assistant coach at Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I have no doubt that he could get the job done out there, John.
Yeah. But the question is, will he get it? The question
yeah,
is...
Yeah, will they offer?
You know, will they offer the job to him and how seriously involved he is
Can AD afford to miss, even though this would be necessarily one...
Well, you have to think about that.
Can she afford to miss again?
Right, and I think the answer to that question is no.
Which is why most folks have said, okay, Thad Matta, which seems to be a little bit less now than it was last night, people saying Thad Matta... People were saying there's going to be an announcement on Thursday about Thad Matta. They were already putting out contract numbers, $2.8 million.
Yep.
That looks to be... Now, having been walked back.
Yes.
But my point, yes, people talking about proven guys, guys that have won before, because feeling like that athletic director can't miss on another hire there. Like that program's at a crossroads. And I know Brad Carson running around here would tell you the same thing.
Right. Now,
they can't miss on this one.
Now, you asked me yesterday if Mike Miller was pushing for the job. I said he was not pushing for the job. And as of yesterday, as of last night, I mean, even the guy that we're about to have on in the next segment says Mike Miller hasn't even been contacted. You know, by UNLV. Now, of course, agents are involved and everything like that. But, you know, I believe that. I believe that to be true. I think, like I said, like I've always said, you know, I think Mike is a name on the list. I think he's on the list. But I don't think he's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth name on the list. I think they have a checklist of guys they're going to work through. Like we talked about, they're going to try to go and get a head coach, right? They're going to try to get a guy who's established. And if they whiff on everybody, right? Not everybody, but if they whiff on their top targets, then it becomes serious, but you know, I just don't think right now that we're at that stage. I don't believe.
Well, that's a good thing for where we are. Not just Memphis, but obviously the recruits that Memphis is after, and particularly the ones that Mike's after. I'm looking at it from the fan base and from the Memphis point of view, from Penny Hardaway's point of view. Yes, good. That's a relief. What you're telling me that if he's that low on the list, that's a relief because again, I'm trying to close on guys that he's been on the entire time,
yeah,
basically, that have been his assignment. So, yeah, I made that clear yesterday. So if you're Penny, you're feeling good from what you just said, that he's in it for at least another year, the recruits that he's on, you lock that down, they're coming, everybody's good.
Yeah,
I've always thought that Mike would be here at least two.
I'm assuming he is in for another year, yes. I'm assuming he is in for another year.
I knew he would be an attractive head coaching candidate at one point. I wasn't prepared for it to be after one season.
Let's
he's been impressive, and of course he's got the ties to recruits. It gives you everything you want in terms of a college head coach.
No doubt.
In terms of wow, that he's got that factor.
Yes. I'm going to say, but let's also acknowledge that he is very different than any other, you know, assistant coach in college basketball. He is. I mean, he's a, you know, with his ties to the top recruits who are, as you pointed out, are tweeting about his candidacy. No other assistant coach in college basketball would that happen for, you know, top 10 kids, top 5 kids. That would not happen. It's unique. He's a two-time, you know, so, I mean, we could say he's supposed to be here for 2 years, right? But, I mean, you can certainly understand why that, if that didn't happen, if that wasn't the case, why it was.
I could understand it. Yeah, and are you presenting me a scenario where he does take the job and there's no recruits?
I mean,
I could understand why he would get the job. You can keep explaining that all day long, but that would be a big blow for Memphis, for Penny, who part of the reason that I hired you was to get the recruits. That was one of the big major reasons because you're inexperienced too. I could have gone an experienced route, but you're tied in with those recruits. And so if I don't get some of them, when that was what was dangled, it'd be a major disappointment and a blow for the program. Surely you see that.
Oh, yeah, but also.
Because then all it's done is raised Mike's profile, and Memphis has gotten what in return?
But, okay, let me ask you
some great scouts against UCF and some players getting better, yes. But, again, I think Penny was looking for long-term impact as well hire.
If his targets have not decided. If his targets have not decided, let's just say in this, I don't think it's going to happen. But if his targets have not decided, by the time Mike got a different job, he's just supposed to say, you know what, never mind, go to Memphis.
I didn't tell you what he's supposed to do. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm saying you can recognize that would be really tough for Penny and a blow for Memphis.
It would be a blow for Memphis.
Yes, in terms of your long term, because Memphis is going to go on with or without Mike Miller. You get that, and that's what I'm saying. You would hope that what you hired Mike Miller for. The big part of it, the recruits, you get some of that before he's out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very simple. You understand that.
But I'm just, if they don't.
You want to get into scenarios and what should Mike do? That's not where I'm going. Mike should take the job if it's presented.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that would suck for Memphis if he's taken the job before he's landed some recruits for the Tigers. Because then, in essence, all he's done in that year is raised his profile for in college basketball and not delivered on the recruits.
But would you hold
that for, was a big part of the reason why you hired him? You get that's common sense.
Yeah, but if Sam Mitchell gets the Mercer job, are you going to say the same thing about him?
Sam hadn't brought a player in here. He's the same as Mike, same as Saul. You understand
Miller,
what I'm saying?
Mike Miller is the same as Saul.
No, John, you starting to sound like you're taking this personally. No, of course not the same.
We don't need to go overboard.
But when it comes to doing the job for the program you were hired for, we will hold them all accountable, whether they're special and unlike anyone else, and whether they're just another assistant coach like a Saul. You will hold them accountable in terms of what they've got to do for this program.
Of course. But only one of his targets has decided elsewhere, and it was Boogie Ellis for Duke. That's it. Precious hasn't decided. Trennan hasn't decided. Lester Quinones hasn't decided.
I don't understand what you're arguing. You agree with me if he left without getting recruits for Memphis, that would be a tough blow for Memphis.
Yeah, but
that would be very unfortunate for Memphis and for Penny Hardaway.
But none of them have decided, though, is what I'm saying. So, like, it's not like you're sounding like he's missed on kids. Like, he hasn't done
Hasn't missed on anyone. They're out there other than the kid that you just named. Hadn't missed on anyone yet.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say they're in the driver's seat right now for two-thirds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of them deciding.
Right.
And when they do it.
We're hoping they get it done before any chance of Mike Miller leaving.
Of course.
I'm sure that's what the entire fan base is hoping.
Of course.
Yeah, what you're bringing to me is my concerns are that of the fan base. That, very simple. So what you're bringing to me sounds more like Mike, you know, that sounds like more what should Mike do all this. I told you, Mike should take the job if it's offered. We don't expect it to be at this point. But if he takes the job without landing recruits from Memphis, that's going to burn. That's going to burn Memphians. It's going to burn the fan base. And I think it would burn Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, we agree. I mean, we're saying the same things here. So, yeah, it's all good. We will come back and talk to Brian Shapiro. He's out there in Vegas. We will get the latest on the UNLV coaching search, where Mike Miller fits into all of that. Some other names, too. I mean, we keep hearing Thad Matta, but I don't think either of us believes it's going to be Thad Matta.
It's supposed to be Thursday. It doesn't look like it.
So if it's not going to be Thad Matta, who is it?
And it's not going to be Rick Pitino.
Now, I think this particular guy we're going to have on mentioned Kenny Payne, the assistant from Kentucky, as a potential name.
Is that sexy enough?
I don't think so.
Because you got to have a little sexy with an ability to get the job done, right? Sounds like what they need right now.
If you're going to go Kenny Payne, why wouldn't you go Mike Miller? I mean, if you're gonna take a gamble on a guy that's not been a head coach, right?
Right.
I mean, at least go with a guy that's got connections to players. You know, I mean, Do you want Mike here?
Of course, but
I'm just being from an objective perspective, right? If I'm just some guy who covers college basketball, you know.
Yeah. I get it.
But anyway, we will talk to Brian Shapiro. That UNLV ain't listening to me. Trust me, they ain't listening to this radio show. But they should. They definitely should. We'll come back, talk to Brian Shapiro from Vegas when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is Brian Shapiro. He's the host of the Vegas Take on 101 FM and 720 AM in Vegas. He's been all over the UNLV coaching search, and he joins us now. Brian, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you.
So, obviously, Mike Miller being an assistant coach here at the University of Memphis and a former Memphis Grizzly, his candidacy or potential candidacy at UNLV is certainly a big story here. So, in terms of the latest that you've heard on the UNLV coaching search, what is it?
Well, obviously, you know, Menzies was fired Friday, and the coaching search begun, and there's a lot of names that are in the hat. Mike Miller is certainly one of them. And I think, you know, the fact that Ryan Miller, his brother, was an assistant coach here at UNLV and did a fantastic job recruiting. So the local ties are there. Yeah. But as of the latest last night, I found out through sources that they have not reached out to Mike Miller yet. Now, that does not mean that they're not going to, because it's still very early in the search. They've reached out to Frank Martin, and that didn't work out very well. They've reached out to a few assistant coaches. I suspect in the next few days they will reach out to Mike Miller.
What is in terms of other names that are going around, Thad Matta, it seems there are some reporting that it's a done deal for Thad Matta. There are conflicting reports. What's your understanding of where it sits with Thad?
The latest I heard is that they haven't even reached out to him yet. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are putting reports out there that are false. So I do not believe that to be true. You know, I know that they did reach out to a guy by the name of Kenny Payne, who is an assistant coach at Kentucky. Yep. They reached out to him the other day, and they reached out to Frank Martin. That is what I know for sure. But there's a lot of people that spread a lot of rumors out there, and they're not usually true.
Right.
So that's the latest about as far as what's going on right now.
Brian, in terms of your understanding of the approach of, you know, of this hire, obviously, you know, there's different philosophies. Do you want to get an up-and-comer? Do you want to gamble? Do you want to get an established coach? If they can get an established coach, it's hard to hire head coaches in this day and
right.
age. What's your understanding of, you know, UNLV's approach to this job and kind of what criteria they're looking for?
Well, if you look at the mistakes they've made in the past, you would certainly want somebody that's been a head coach before. That might not be good news for Mike Miller, but, you know, they hired a guy by the name of Dave Rice 7 or 8 years ago, mm-hmm. longtime BYU assistant coach, never had been a head coach before, and didn't work out. Then they hired this guy, Marvin Menzies, you know, coming from the WAC. Obviously, that didn't work out either. So I suspect that they're looking for either two different types of coaches, either a young up-and-coming coach from a lower, you know, a lower market, lower team, or looking for a guy like a Thad Matta, a guy with a name. The problem with UNLV is they haven't always had a lot of money to pay a coach. You know, that's why Lon Kruger left. Lon Kruger was the last great basketball mm-hmm. coach we had. And, you know, he wanted a little bit more money, and they would not give it to him, and they've paid the price for it. So what I've heard is they have somewhere along the lines between $1.8 million and $2.7 million per year to spend, which is pretty good. So they've got some money. I think this is obviously a huge, huge decision. And, you know, I've been on the air outspoken about Mike Miller. I think he'd be a great hire for a lot of different reasons. First of all, Ryan Miller, like I mentioned, I'm a friend of Ryan's and fantastic assistant coach, great recruiter. Mike Miller would bring in great players at UNLV. They would recruit their asses off. Is it a little bit of a gamble? Sure, you're always gambling when you hire a new coach. And Mike Miller's never been a head coach before. So for people that wouldn't want him, that's certainly a good argument. But the guy had an unbelievable career. He's well-liked. He's got a great reputation. And, you know, they have great experience, the Millers. And, I, you know, you need a name here. You need somebody young. You need somebody with enthusiasm. You need a personality in Vegas. And I really do believe that Mike Miller would put you know, fans in the seats. So I think that, you know, the obvious name would be Rick Pitino, but they're not going to hire Rick Pitino. I don't think anybody's hiring Rick Pitino right now with everything that's going on. But next to Rick Pitino, yeah, I really do believe Mike Miller would be a slam dunk and a good hire here.
Have the boosters just ponied up because they're just tired of the mediocrity? Was that a push by the AD? The boosters coming up with this money that they're going to pay more to use in this salary, was that just because they're at a crossroads and they're sort of tired of where they're at?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think they've been tired where they've been at the last six, seven, 8 years. Yeah. I mean, UNLV is on the brink of not being relevant anymore.
It's true.
Sad to say that, but it's true. Let me give you a quick understanding of that. You know, six, 7 years ago, there was at least 10, 11,000 people in the seats. I've been to some games this year where there's only 2,500 people in there. Wow. That's pathetic. I'm talking 20 students. You know, UNLV, it's been sad, really, and the boosters are tired of it. There's a lot of – one thing that Vegas has is a lot of money. There's a lot of people, a lot of boosters, a lot of people in the casino business, a lot of people with a lot of money in this town. You know, Steve Wynn, Elaine Wynn, you know, and, of course, Sheldon Adelson. There's a lot of people with a lot of money in this town, so there's really no excuse why they can't come up with money.
Right.
And I guess we're just going to have to wait and see exactly who they hire, but certainly the money is there from what I've heard.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Shapiro of the Vegas Take in Las Vegas. So in terms of your understanding of the timeline, are we, you know, a week out, a couple weeks out? I mean, how quickly do you think this thing ends up getting wrapped up?
Well, certainly the athletic director, Francois, didn't want to put a timeline on it, but let's be honest here. Every day they don't have a head coach, it's bad for the program. Mm-hmm. You got to get somebody in here immediately, and they know that. They're trying to do it in a timely fashion, but I find it hard to believe that when they did the press conference on Friday that they said, well, the search is starting today. Mm-hmm. I really do find that hard to believe. How could you have not looked for a coach? They had to have known this was going to happen. So with that, I put the over-under the other day at about 14 days. I suspect that they're probably going to have a coach within about 10 days or so, maybe sooner. I mean, they could make an announcement, you know, as soon as the end of the week. But I would suspect I'd give it about 7 to 10 more days.
Interesting. Obviously, the NCAA tournament starts tonight, actually, with the play-in games. You're in Vegas. If we're looking for some good value here in this tournament, Brian, who should we be looking at?
Boy, that's a pretty good question. You know, it depends what you're looking at. Are you looking at someone to go all the way, maybe a dark horse to win the NCAA tournament, or are you looking for chalk, or are you looking at game-by-game spreads? Because if you're looking at game-by-game spreads, one game I really do like is I think Nevada loses to Florida. I cover the Mountain West Conference. Yeah. I think Florida wins that game. Nevada has not impressed me all year. I mean, I don't think they're a top-10 team or a top-20 team in the country. I think their offense relies on Caleb way too much. So I like Florida to win that first-round game. You know, I took chalk at the beginning of the year. I took Duke to win it all. Mm-hmm. I'm still going with my guns on that, but you can't take Duke at 2-1.
Right.
I think you got to look at some of those other teams all the way down and to look for some value.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Brian, man, we appreciate
this.
Thank
you for this.
Thanks for the updates.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Brian Shapiro of the Vegas Take there in Las Vegas. And he does expect UNLV to reach out to Mike Miller.
It sounds like he got pretty firm grasp.
A few days, yeah. It sounds like the search is wide open.
I mean, it almost sounded like he didn't know who Kenny Payne was.
He
didn't know what I'm saying?
Kenny Payne
a guy
was.
By the name of Kenny Payne that's on that Kentucky staff. Like, and that if it doesn't resonate with him, how's it going to resonate with UNLV fans? You know what I'm saying? He's covered this program. And so I don't think that – I mean, sure, as he says, they've reached out to him. That doesn't seem like a route that they would go down.
I feel like Kenny Payne's name comes up a lot for certain jobs, like, but he never gets hired. Yeah, obviously. You know, I think he, you know, in 2012, I think after Mississippi State fired Rick Ray. Before they hired Rick Ray, I should say.
We should have asked, reach out to Mike in the sense of due diligence? Reach out to Mike in the sense of it's going to fall through these others and they're going to offer them the job. It sounded like he's talking about due diligence, right?
Yeah.
You're going to call your options.
Exactly. Now, I don't know in terms of the interpretation, like the longer it goes, is that – you know, it worse for Memphis, right?
Because the more people that turn it down, the worse it is for Memphis, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. You know, because they're going to work through their top targets, whether it's Frank Martin. It sounds like they've already kind of done that, right? Frank Martin said no. Thad Matta sounds like he's going to say no. Thad Matta is interesting because in his clause, like in his buyout clause with Ohio State, there is a line in there that basically says, in order for you to keep cashing checks from us, you have to actively pursue jobs every year.
So he has to look like he has to at least look like he's going after jobs to continue to be paid by Ohio State.
If you're Thad Matta, why would you ever coach again? You know, I mean, if you're getting that much money from Ohio State, why would you ever turn down that money and say, I don't need it, just to go coach again.
What I cannot, what I still can't wrap my head around with Thad Matta is that he's 51. I couldn't remember if it was 51 or 52. I mean, it seemed, you know, physically he just seems so much older than when he's still young.
Yeah.
Still got some coaching in him. That's what I'm telling you. What you're saying, he's going to coach again because he's so young.
Yeah, but he's got health issues, though.
You know, he's had, what, 2 years now to get through? People are hoping that he's done a little better now.
He's only 51,
That's what I'm telling you. He's so young right now. Like, he will coach again at
some
point.
He looks a lot older than 51.
He's on some good money right on a good deal with Ohio State. So what I got to do, just, like, fill out an application at McDonald's and I keep getting paid by Ohio State?
I mean, just have your agent leak your name. He turned down 5 years, $16 million from Georgia last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know why he did that? Because he doesn't want to coach. He didn't want to coach Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia.
He just had to look like, you know, all your agent has to do is call, like, I don't know, Pete Thamel or somebody like that and say, hey, you know, UNLV's reached out. And he'll tweet it, and then that'll look like you're pursuing jobs, even if it's true or not. Who knows? So anyway, there you go. Thanks to Brian Shapiro for joining us and giving us the update on the UNLV coaching search. When we come back, lots to get to in the rundown. Mike Trout, not that I know who the hell he is, but he's a very rich man. We will talk about that.
Johnny Manziel may not even start Sunday, Bennett. Disappoint you?
This is problematic.
Stop.
This is problematic.
And we'll talk about it.
Maybe we've dedicated way too much airtime to this development. He's not even going to start. There's a new NBA mock draft, which is interesting now that the Grizzlies are definitely not conveying the pick.
Oh, one more. Dedrick Lawson, named to an All-America team.
I have one more.
Well, we got a ton in rundown.
Yeah, we got a long rundown, man. It's an open second hour.
Okay.
A Memphis Tiger basketball target. You'll be happy about this. It's a Mike Miller target.
What is he?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.